Welcome to Bourbon Boys. In my group, Mythical, there was a question posed last week. What are your top five Mythical picks? And I wanted to give my opinion. I sort of gave it in the group a little bit, but my opinion is a little bit different because my opinion comes with not only the whiskey, but the experience that comes with it. So I'm going to give my five, and they're probably, well, they might be in line with most people's top five, what they thought was the best as far as age and quality, whatever you want to say. I mean, there's some that may be a little bit different. Who knows? We'll see what happens. But number one, not surprising to anybody, is going to be the original OG Mythical Smooth Ambler. We picked 8 barrels that day. The experience was amazing. The whiskey is still a chaser for me. I mean, I'm still trying to find extra bottles to back up the one that I have left sealed. And it's amazing. We tried 30 barrels that day. And Smooth Ambler back in the day was unparalleled when it came to hospitality. And, well, they're still unparalleled when it comes to hospitality. But the amount of whiskey that you had to try from was ridiculous back then. Picks have totally changed now. We've discussed that on multiple podcasts. And from here on out, I'm going to do, there's not going to be any, it's no particular order now. Number one's always going to be Smooth Ambler. The original Smooth Ambler is always going to be, it's the first pick we did. Always going to be the closest to my heart that I've ever done, especially for Mythical. Number two is, for me personally, Pretty Ricky. And that's mostly heart, but a little bit of whiskey too. I've never found a 5-year-old smooth, 5-year-old MGP that I liked more and found more appealing. And the story is, for anybody who knows the Mongols and you've listened to this podcast at all, you know who the Mongols are. The best whiskey people ever. Right before they died, we had 5 samples sent to me, and I brought them to Kentucky, and we all tried them at the Mongols' house. Ricky was sick. He thought he had COVID. He couldn't taste anything. He lost a ton of weight. He ended up having cancer. It's a very sore subject, but it was the last set of samples that we tried with them. We rejected. He said, these aren't good enough. And then Ricky passed away. And they sent more samples to us, and I went back to Kentucky, and I tried it with the same group of people, minus Ricky and Julie, and we came up with Pretty Ricky, which was a phenomenal barrel of whiskey, especially for a 5-year-old. I mean, you cannot, I will test anybody in America against this 5-year-old barrel, and they will not be able to tell me that that whiskey was 5 years old. It was stupid good. And I think it was all because of Ricky. God gave us those barrels to pay homage to Ricky, because he deserved it, my man. And we did a label in early times font with a portrait of Ricky on it. And it's one of my favorite barrels I've ever done. Three not third, but three is probably going to be Traverse City, 14. We were the first people that were invited. Well, some of the first people that were invited to do a barrel pick at Traverse City. I went up there with Pause for a Cause, and they were going to pass on the older barrel because of the expense. And I was like, no, man, that shit's delicious. We got, that was the best barrel. We started drinking tons of shit and reminiscing. And then they were like, oh, this is good. This is good. And I was like, no, man, that's the original one we picked was the best. And, obviously that was, it was a great barrel. It was 14-year-old MGP when MGP was like the original MGP. It was like the, you couldn't find aged MGP at that point, especially not that, that extra age. And at that price point, I mean, it was like, there we got $100. Maybe we sold those for $100 a bottle. Ridiculous. I mean, now 10-year-old, you ain't touching it for less than $100. Number three. Number three comes down to Four Roses picks. For me. The first Four Roses pick I did for Mythical was with Brett Connors and Aaron Neff. Love both those guys. They're both phenomenal people. They're both neither. Well, Brett's still in the group. Oh, I just spilled whiskey on myself. Great. Oh, that was Four Roses Mythical. I'm going to be sleeping on this because I'm sleeping on this couch. Both great whiskeys. I got to pour something else. Hold on a second. All right. The original is great because it's nostalgic. I mean, I was there with Ed. I was there with Brett, who now works at Castle and Key, Aaron Neff, and Steve Ha. All those guys were there. It was OGs. We picked a great funky barrel. I mean, that's still as it's silly as far as the fact we were able to pick three barrels that day. Sorry. It's a Consumers, Four Roses, OBSK. Very good. Consumers does well. They do a lot of good picks here in Milwaukee. Anyway, so yeah, that was, it was a great pick because the OG aspect, the whiskey was delicious. But the more modern Four Roses pick we did with a happy hour, my boy Aaron, I've done a lot of picks with him. Used to do a lot of picks with him for Mythical. I moved away a little bit just price wise. I mean, he's working in, outside of Lexington, they have different tax brackets and shit like that. So it makes it tough to be competitive price wise. And I am very sensitive to price when it comes to our group picks. Anyway, the pick we did with him that we got a third of, the Mythical Happy Hour pick, is an OBSQ 11-year-old. And it was very good. And that's probably my favorite Four Roses pick that I've been a part of. One of, I mean, we got some other ones. Anyway, number four. What are we on? 10 minutes? It's going to be so short. Number four, my favorite Mythical pick. I'm going to say Jepson's. The first Jepson's pick. Because I just become friends with Amon and that whole crew and Dan. I just started meeting Dan. And I met Dan at the first what the fuck is the name of that? Sorry. If you're listening to this in your car and your F words. It's MGP brand now. Anyway, I met him at a pick for timers, and we were all sitting in the. As per usual, I brought a bunch of whiskey with me for a pick, and then after the pick was over, we were all sitting down in my trunk drinking whiskey out of my trunk, and he was chugging my new riff pick out of my trunk, and I was like, yep, I know I'm going to love this guy. And now Dan is one of my favorite people of all time, even though he gives me more shit than anybody else I've ever met. And I will allow it because he's our elder. Anyway, my man, that was the first pick I went on with him that was like we had the run of the whole Rick. It reminded me so much of Smooth Ambler. It was like we just... You could taste whatever you wanted. They had all these barrels. It's become not like that now because they've run out of those aged barrels. Now it's all younger stuff. But when we first went there, it was like, it was a treasure trove. And I had gotten on, for real barrel or whiskey nerds, I got on barrel 36 year before last. I don't know if it was because of the actual wood they were using, the lines, like the rings and the trees that they had made this batch of barrels out of they'd used or what. I don't know what did it, but whatever they did with that batch of barrel 36 just made everything so much better. Pretty Ricky was out of that. The original Mythical Jepson's was out of that. There was something we picked for NASA that was out of that. There was something we got from Smooth Dramblerie last year that was out of that. All that, all those barrels, the Barrel 36, produced such great whiskey. I don't know what it was about those barrels, but whatever it was, I caught onto it early and I was trying to jump on it. And I saw that barrel 36. We went into Jepson's warehouse, and I was hopped on that so fast. It's like, what is this? Oh, yep, yeah, that's a Mythical barrel right there. And then last year's was good too, but nothing's gonna stand up to that first time picking there. Number five for me. That's a tougher one. Probably Bluegrass Beast. And that's almost 100% because of the actions and the work it went into to doing that. I mean, coming down there and doing the blend and having all these people touch that, taste it. I should probably do a top 10. I mean, top five's gonna be good enough. That was early on in Bourbon 30s Strata. I mean, they've gone on and now they got the new place across the street from Buffalo Trace. But so many people ask me what. I mean, you go to barrel picks, it's not as glamorous as it used to be. I mean, before it used to be like it was a spectacle. It was a thing. It was like you got to go on a barrel pick. It was something nobody else got to do. Now everybody gets to do it. And to a certain extent, that's great. Everybody should be able to get that experience. To another experience, another extent, it's terrible because everybody gets to do it now. Not necessarily everybody should do it. Not everybody's opinion is the greatest. I don't know, man. That's just me and my old grumpy man opinion. But some people just... When it comes to barrel picking now, it's like I feel like some people just pick because they're looking the distiller in the face and they don't want to tell them that it's not good enough. And that's not... You should be willing to walk away from any barrel pick. Period. If you're not willing to walk away, you're not a barrel picker. I'm sorry. That's the plain, simple facts of it. Barrel picking 101. Pick greatness. If you're not going to pick greatness, walk away. If you're not going to pick greatness equal to value, which is also a thing, sometimes there are $50 bottles, barrels, that are great for the price. They may not be equal to $100 bottles, but if you can tell me that this is a $75 bottle, a $65 bottle, you're getting it for $50, that's greatness. If you can find something, you can find a jewel, you can find a diamond in the rough, and there's a lot of rough, you're a barrel picker. Sometimes people aren't barrel pickers, and there's nothing wrong with that. All right. Until next time, enjoy your pours, enjoy your family. Good night.